right, welcome to another edition of the 40 Minutes to Tell podcast. I'm here with Kurt Voigt again. Kurt, stepping up big in the clutch. I was supposed to have Dudley on today. He had something come up. Couldn't imagine. It's been a slow news day, obviously.
Well, I'm no Dudley, but you know, I'm real thankful and again honored. I can't believe it, man. Twice in like a week or two. This is, I mean, even if I'm a pinch hitter here, this is big time again with Millennial Jimmy.
Well, you got some pretty rave reviews last week. Well, I know you're a hero in your own home because you got Will a little shout out on here. And
Mr. 15-point leading scorer for Rogers High,
yeah.
Will.
Yeah, bringing that up right off the top, dropping 15 in his varsity debut. He might be starting pretty soon.
Yeah, he's got to work on that defense.
Yeah, he's the Ennis Canton. Oh, no, he's a Doug McDermott.
Oh, come on, man. More like Kyle Korver.
You love Doug.
He told me the other night that I said, you know, it would be real good if you shoot 40% for the season on threes. He said, oh, I won't be happy unless it's 50%.
Okay.
Right. All right. Right.
Let's calm down a little bit.
Agreed.
Realistic expectations.
Agreed.
All right, so obviously we're going to talk about basketball, but the big news of the day is Jeff Long getting fired earlier this morning. I heard some rumblings about it and people saying, oh, you know, he probably won't be around whenever the football season starts next year, but had someone text me last night that, hey, you might, something's going down tomorrow. It was surprising to me. It was unexpected, I thought. I mean, you kind of saw it coming last week with the meeting, but I thought he'd done a great job, honestly.
He had done a great job. I thought the way it was going to go down was that he was going to leave on his own. I felt like he was going to be tired of dealing with the Little Rock Stadium drama. I felt like he was going to maybe handle that, handle what we all expect to handle with Brett Bielema, and then be on his way to another school. But he didn't. He didn't get out of town before the posse got him. And it's just – it's a lot of things. I mean, I think you and I know there's so many things not necessarily behind the scenes, things that have been there from the forefront, from the get-go with him. I mean, I told someone today – I told my boss, actually, that, you know, he's in Chicago. And I told him, I said, I don't think most people understand outside the state what a big deal – this stadium debate thing is. I mean, this is stuff that has been going back now 17 years since they expanded the stadium. They have been talking about the end of the Little Rock games, and it never ends, and I think that was part of it. You know, I think there's a faction of Central Arkansas people who are still upset about the possibility of losing all their games down there, despite the fact that War Memorial is woefully inadequate to host SEC football. I think, you know, it's only speculation at this point, but I think it's a logical jump to go to the conclusion that perhaps Jeff was told to fire Brett Bielema and he declined and maybe fell on the sword instead. I don't think that's that big of a jump to make a, you know, an educated guess that might have happened. You know, you also look just the unrest. I mean, you look at the attendance. He did so many good things. You know, I told someone earlier, 9 out of 10 decisions he made here were great. I mean, the profile he had nationally was good for the school. Right. But you also have to look at it, you know, the guy who was his guy was former Chancellor Dave Gearhart. That was Jeff Long's guy. Joseph Steinmetz, the new chancellor, we don't know what the relationship is between him and Jeff. But anytime you're in that situation – or you have a new guy above you, you have to be concerned a little bit for your future. And I think between that and the board of trustees, I think, you know, I told somebody this morning that I had a coach tell me once that anytime you stay in one place long enough, you're going to develop enemies everywhere. And I think that can apply now to what happened with Jeff.
You mentioned the new chancellor, and we're going to shift this to basketball because Mike Anderson talked today. And so the dynamic of the new chancellor and Jeff – now, you know, Mike's sitting here with what a coach really doesn't like to be in this position. He's going to have a new athletic director, somebody who didn't hire him, someone he probably didn't have a previous relationship with. And this isn't to suggest that all of a sudden it's going to go downhill for Mike, because by all accounts the program's in a great place and they've got a good team this year. But that's kind of an uncomfortable position for a coach to be in, to have the security of, okay, this guy brought me here. I've had success with him. I've got a good working relationship with him. And now I'm going to have someone new who I'm not their guy. You know, we may not have any sort of prior relationship, and I think you could kind of tell he was a little bit
he was taken aback.
Taken aback, blindsided a little bit. I think he and Jeff had a good relationship, and any time that you change the dynamic like that, there's a lot of uncertainty that can come along with that.
I think the one benefit that Mike has that maybe Brett Bielema doesn't is, and not maybe, it's a fact. I mean, Mike Anderson is as much Fayetteville and Northwest Arkansas as anyone on this campus. I mean, this is a guy who was here 17 years with Nolan Richardson. This is a guy, this is his dream job. I mean, he, you know, I can very much see a scenario, much like where Nolan has never left Northwest Arkansas, even after his firing. I wouldn't expect Mike Anderson to leave, even if and when his day at Arkansas comes to an end. So he has that benefit. He has that groundswell of, if not always support, of knowledge and I think an understanding from fans at large and the board and other people who matter here that you know, this is a program that really needs Mike Anderson if it does want to get back to where they think it could be.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Let's move on to basketball. This is a basketball podcast, but we kind of had to talk about the elephant and the big news of the day. Obviously, a massive change in the landscape at the U of A. Two games this weekend. You were at both of them, right?
Yes.
Okay. So they beat Samford in the opener, 95-56. Game wasn't close. They beat Bucknell 101-73. Same thing. The game, you know, both games were over by halftime, pretty much. And making me look like an idiot whenever I said that there was a chance they'd lose both, a tiny chance they'd lose both, and it wouldn't be surprising if they
lost. I think it was a 10% chance, you said.
I think, yep. I'll eat the crow because I was wrong. I mean, God, they looked about as good, I thought, as they possibly could have hoped for them to look on the opening weekend.
How many times over the last couple seasons have they played these mid-major games, and have we gone into the last 10 minutes of the game going, oh, boy?
Yeah.
You know, from a personal standpoint, I can tell you that, you know, I've had to have stories written about them losing, ready to go on any number of these games, and they didn't just win these two games. They just flat-out dominated. And I got to tell you, I mean, I you and I talked last week about – you know, the potential we saw that was there. We also talked a lot about the potential for it to go wrong. And some of the things that we did talk about, Gafford maybe getting in foul trouble and some of those other things did happen. But I'm going to tell you what I missed. I knew that Jalen Barford and Daryl Macon would be better this year. I knew they would make that jump from junior to senior year. What I missed was the junior college jump. And you would think by now I would know, but it has been proven time and time again, whether it's basketball, football, it doesn't matter. Guys like Anthony Leon, at safety, used to play at Arkansas his junior year to senior year. You see these JUCOs come in, and it takes, you know, it's cliche almost at this point that it takes a year for them to get settled with everything on campus, with their school, with everything. Barford and Macon, I can't even – I don't have the words to talk about how consistent, how dominating on the ball, everything they did, and all the pieces around them just fit in perfectly. Adriel Bailey, so many things went right that I'll be honest with you. I went from, you know, thinking of them as maybe an 8-9 seed getting in the tournament, and I don't care. You can look at me and say it's only two games. I know you're about to give me the look.
I'm just waiting to see what you got.
I'm looking 4-5 seed. I think that's a legitimate expectation with this team. You know, even with what I think we still think will be problems with the front court and Gafford and some of the other stuff, man, Jimmy, they're good.
They're really good. I'm kind of – okay, the JUCO thing, I feel like that is – There's truth to that. I also think you could say the same thing about a high school kid. You know, they get better between their friends. Basically, any situation you get into, you're.
But they don't make high school kids don't make usually that big of a jump. And let's be honest. I mean, Jalen Barford scored what 26 points a game at JUCO his last year. So, and we didn't see that last year. Right, I mean, maybe toward the end of the year he was
so loaded that he wasn't going to be.
I wouldn't say loaded. He just—it's a matter of fitting. Matter of fitting in with new guys, okay? And there's no doubt on this team this year that those two guys—they're the alphas. I mean, they can do. There's no more Dusty. There's no more anybody else to Moses to you know worry about ball possession or whatever. I mean, and man, the jump they have. I mean, this looks like. the junior college Jalen Barford. I mean, I still have doubts about his outside shooting.
You were watching film of junior college Jalen Barford back in the day?
I've definitely watched some YouTube highlights and whatever. Okay. I mean, come on. I'm a hoop junkie just like you. I like to see good ball. But
they look great. Barford averaged 21.5 points, 4 assists, making 18.5, 6 assists. The thing that man, they're obviously, like you said, they're the alpha two guys on offense. They're going to get their shots. But the way they got their shots within the flow of the offense, that was the thing to me. Last year, there were so many just stagnant possessions where they'd ISO. And
they had 28 assists in that first game on, I think, 36 makes. It's off the top of my head.
I don't know why Stanford played zone. They carved it up. I got to Baton Rouge and watched it. I was like, geez.
Name a Mike Anderson team that passed better than what we've seen those two games.
The passing, the movement without the ball.
Interior pass. I think I texted you or messaged you in the middle of that first game because I knew you were in the middle of your flight saga trying to get down to Baton Rouge. Well, you know, it's the best interior passing team I've seen from Mike.
Even Gafford. I mean, we know Trey's a good passer, but Gafford was making really good reads.
And you know, let's be honest, that's been the criticism of Mike Anderson teams at Arkansas was the flow of the offense. I know it was different when they had Bobby and he could run in the high post, and that was a good passing team with Qualls and some of those guys. But that has been the criticism he's faced from fans is the passing, how they fare against zone a lot of times. Can they carve it up? They can't just carve it up. They can just flat out dominate a zone. I don't see how any team slaps that on them for the rest of the year.
Yeah, they were sitting there running either Adrio or Trey in the high post. They had a baseline runner going side to side, just ball movement, getting into the middle of the zone and kicking out. And just they looked good against Bucknell. Bucknell went man-to-man, and they looked just as good against that. Late in the game, there was one possession. Darryl's like running the baseline back and forth. He finally gets it. CJ curls off a Trey screen at the top of the key. Well, he's not open, so he goes through. Jalen curls. Like, this is all in the span of 5 seconds. You got three guys just moving parts, and they look so much more crisp. I think the buy-in from guys like Jalen and Darryl, they realize that, hey, if we actually, do what we're supposed to do, it's going to be a lot easier for us, and it'll set up the guys around us, too, because they got to have those guys.
And I think the one thing we're not talking about a little bit that is – where I did pick that they would be a lot better is defensively. You have Mike Anderson type guards. I think Darius Hollis played really well in his moments on the court on both ends, especially on defense.
That dunk.
Oh my gosh. I texted that to my son right away. That was awesome. They have long arms. They can do whatever they want on defense. The last couple of years, we've seen them just be torn up on the perimeter, giving up shots, and they still gave up some. But
47% of both the team's looks were threes.
Now, right.
Some of that was because they had breakdowns, and Bucknell ran some good stuff. But some of that was because neither team could get in the lane, and they were stuck late in the shot clock. Like, okay, well, we got to get something up.
Trey's been really good on defense, and holding his position and moving. The problem is the thing we have a hard time with getting a really great read on how they are defensively right now is that Daniel Gafford's barely played. I mean, he's averaged 16.5 minutes, but when he's been on the court, I feel like they're even better than what we've seen and what they can be defensively. But I think the biggest surprise so far on both ends of the court, and I think we knew the potential was there for a breakout, but Adriel Bailey. You just can't deny that athleticism. You can't deny it, and I don't care if he was 6'3", but he's not. Just get him on the court, and he's my new guy, man. He's my new Michael Qualls. I'm gonna go up. I'm gonna try to dunk everything. I don't care if it gets dunked or not, but I'm gonna try. And he had one the other day. He didn't get down, but boy, it was one of those when he started to take off. I kind of rose in my seat a little bit, going, "Oh boy, here it comes! It's fun."
I was digging the stare down after he blocked, dude. Oh boy, for Samford in the first game, just like gave him that look back, like, "Come on, man, you trying to?" His energy. He looked so bad in the exhibition games. And Mike benched him in the second half of the second one, and then brought him in and pulled him within a minute because he just wasn't. So, but when he brings that motor, his athleticism can change the game. That's why I think his ceiling's so much higher than Dustin or Orlando, the older guys, because they can't impact the game in that way.
Not athletically.
No.
Just think about if the negative Mike Anderson folks that had their way after that 16-16 season, or even last year after the Missouri Vandy back-to-back, or Oklahoma State. There was Oklahoma, all that fiasco. Boy, they would have missed out, because now you look at a team that you kind of went into this year with some question marks, and you know they did close fast last year, but now everything, every different way you talk about this team, you have to talk about it in the context of, holy cow, forget this year. Look at what they've got coming next year. Look at what they've got coming the year after that. I mean, he's finally got it to where he wants it, I think. And even when he had the Portis year with the Quals, that, you know, you knew they were going to lose a lot, and you knew there was going to be somewhat of a drop-off. But right now, it couldn't be sitting in a better position for what Mike Anderson hopes it becomes in the next few years.
Because all those young guys, all that length, that second unit he ran out the other day, I asked Daryl about it and talked to him a little bit about it. Oh, yeah. So I was walking in. I don't know if I told you this. I was walking in today. I parked next to Daryl, and we were both walking in at the same time. And we talked about some other stuff, but I got out of the car. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get this out of the way. I was like, man, you're trying to make me look like an idiot for not picking you to all SEC, huh? And he's like, well, that's your problem. And I was like, yep, you're not wrong. We were joking about it. I put in there that he was my third guard behind Kayvon, but we only got five guys.
Right.
And just joking about how somebody from Ole Miss must have been just a complete homer, because two Ole Miss guys got votes and were on there, and clearly those guys aren't at the level of Jalen and Daryl.
I'm so glad he came back for him. Because he was close. I mean, you and I know this. He was really close to going.
He flirted with it.
He did, and you know, everybody has the reasons for why they think about it, and a lot of times, I mean, I've talked about this a lot of times. When Michael Qualls left, I know a lot of people thought it was the wrong decision, but you have to take into account family. You have to take into account a family to take care of for him, and for him, it was the right decision. For Daryl, he just needed more time to show on this level. You know, I don't know if you look at Jalen or Daryl, even to this day. I mean, you and I are NBA junkies.
I don't think they'll play in the NBA. Maybe more than a cup of coffee.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, Daryl's size and speed. We can nitpick all we want. What they are is they're great college basketball players.
Oh, for sure.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And they're going to make money somehow playing over the next few years. But, man, for now, I will be really interested to see Friday night and moving forward what the crowds are like in Bud Walton Arena, because
like fans have got to be desperate to,
you know,
win for a winner, and they're playing a fun style.
I didn't even pick on them that much Sunday night because
it's surprising.
Yeah, I didn't.
Trolling Kurt Voigt.
No, I didn't pick on them because I understood Sunday night at 5. It was really an awkward time to have a basketball game. I don't know why they did it then.
I was there, I'm sure, 2 hours of sleep.
Man. We're going to hear you. At least it was for traveling's sake and not for some of your other off-the-court exploits.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, I hope moving forward that they start to show up. I think they will. And maybe for the first time since that Portis Qualls year, and maybe even since longer than that, you know, Bud Walton can get back to what it was. Because even during the Portis Qualls year, other than the incredible Qualls dunk against Kentucky, you know, that was a great crowd. But, man, Bud Walton Arena, when it was at its peak, it was so great. And I've been to some great places, and I can't tell you what it was like. So hopefully, just from a pure excitement standpoint, and you and I have talked about this, I mean, this school, this area, they're desperate for anything good right now. I mean, football is in the tank. You know, they're about to, this whole athletic department's about to go through some major upheaval. Boy, Arkansas needs this in the worst way this season.
Did you watch the Kentucky game last night? It kind of looked a little shaky. I hate college basketball, which is ironic because that's my main thing. Just like the overall quality of play is kind of hard to watch sometimes, so I prefer the NBA. But I watched it and I was like, God, this is
I watched brutal. Quite a bit of the first game last night. So I watched
I heard
quite
that
a bit.
Was a lot better.
I watched Grayson Allen put on a show, and you know, man, when guys are 4-year seniors, they're just so much better to watch, and it makes college. And he did, well, I think, 37 points last night, and it was just, you know, a pleasure to watch. I mean, Michigan State's good too, but I watched a little less of that game, but and I can't remember which Kentucky freshman the name, because they all just kind of blend together. But even my boss, who was in Chicago and at the game last night, told me.
Knox, was it Kevin?
Yeah, Knox? Yeah. He told me how much I'm going to enjoy when he visits Fayetteville. And, of course, I'm hoping to get up to see him in Columbia as well this season.
Oh, yeah.
But
you are full on with that Missouri.
Hey.
I didn't realize that Porter only played 2 minutes.
Yeah, he's been battling a little bit of an injury, but that's what makes it scary. Is know. You know, the grad transfer kid they brought in has looked really good. Missouri shot something like 67% in their win over Wagner the other night. I mean, when you look at you and I couldn't shoot 67%. What? Unguarded? Maybe we could if we shot some layups.
Distance,
I don't know. I mean, but come on. I mean, seriously, they shot 67%, and all that size you were unsure about, man, it has looked really good. And then, you know what? Jontay Porter just turned 18 yesterday.
Jontay Porter, Michael Porter, they're cool. They're cool. Jeremiah
Tillman's looked good. He's looked good.
Not as high on him as you are, but he has looked good. He's shooting like 78%.
All those pieces fit. So when they come here, oh, moly.
They play him twice, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Looking at, you mentioned how they're set up so well. Obviously, they've already signed their recruiting class, but all these freshmen, you would think they come back next year, the sophomores that they've got. Mike's been running out this lineup, this bench group, where he's got the four young guys. So he's got Darius Hall, Daniel Gafford, Gabe Osaboyan, and C.J. Jones. And then he picks one of the senior guards, one of those guys. Doesn't really matter who, it's interchangeable just based on the flow of the game and how he subbed people. That group is kind of scary defensively, because you look at the last three, so Osaboyan, Hall, Gafford, all have 7 foot plus wings.
Right.
It hasn't been long. So far that group is allowing 61.9 points per 100 possessions.
Well, and what they get,
that's impossible to sustain, but that's incredible.
And what they have done
is 25 points better than what the best mark in the
nation. No, and they do. They cover up a little bit for C.J. Jones. You know, although
he was kind of bad the other day.
He was, but on defense, right.
Right.
But they cover up for that a little bit. And I don't know if Mike planned it that way or not, but and they're doing this without Khalil Garland. I mean,
I don't think they're
going to
get Khalil.
No, I know. Yeah. I don't know if they'll get him this year or whatever. But my point is, you know, that group, that young, is doing it without the guy who was thought to be perhaps the best guard of that group. I mean, right. I don't think, you know, anybody thought he was the Daniel Gafford level, but, you know, he's a guy who's going to bring a lot when he finally gets on the court. So it's just everything's fit. Everything fits right now, and Mike can do no wrong.
Do you buy into – does Gabe have a chance to stay in the rotation? I don't think he will once they get Dustin back.
If he keeps playing defense like that –
his rotations were not even the one – I mean, he took three charges, but not even on those. Just like he was covering things up.
I think Dustin Thomas brings a little more offensively, you know.
He can pass.
Right, and he can shoot a little bit. I mean, he's got that little step-back fadeaway thing, but he can shoot.
A little bit. You like those fours that have the little step-back fadeaway – Alandis? Dustin doesn't have the bow tie game like Alandis.
He's no Alandis, man. I love Alandis. I always miss Alandis. And Alandis, he was another one of those guys, too. He would try to dunk it over anybody, and he didn't care if he was 6'6 or 6'5 or what.
He was like 240, but he was getting up.
He didn't care.
Yeah.
Loved watching his highlights. What was it, in China? Oh, my gosh. Scoring like 50, 60 a game. That dude was awesome. Anyway, I'm sidetracking myself here. No, I don't. I think if Gabe keeps playing defense like that, I think you have to keep him in there some fashion, some way. There's a place for Dustin Thomas when he comes back. I think an expanded place, and he'll be back soon, I'm sure. I don't know how much of a place there is for Orlando Cook on this team.
I don't think there is, man.
Yeah.
He clearly can't bring what Adrio Bailey brings, and Dustin is better than him and brings more to the table from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah. And I don't know if it has anything to do with the suspension or not. I don't know that, you know, maybe the guys wouldn't have gotten quite as early of a look if he were still on the court, but you can't deny what they bring. You just can't deny what Adrio Bailey, Darius, and those guys bring defensively.
I'm going to make a bad comparison you're going to just absolutely.
You're not going to bring up Michael Jordan like I did last week, are you?
No, I'm not going to compare Anton Beard to Michael Jordan.
Okay.
But
post game,
David Lee got hurt in the preseason of Kerr's first year at Golden State, and so they had to move Draymond into the starting lineup, and Draymond provided this infusion of and you know, they go on, and obviously they would have been good regardless, but so
I can't even jump on this because the first of all, you know, I can't even go with the Draymond thing, but man,
clearly
you can't compare anybody on this team to David Lee, because that guy could jump out of the gym. I love that guy.
David Lee?
I loved him.
Not at that point in his career.
No, but you should have seen him in high school. In Florida, oh my God. I'm old enough that dude won some national high school dunk contest. He was so oh my gosh.
He was like Mr. Double Double with the Knicks and everything. But
okay, go ahead here. I'll listen to this.
Obviously you'll allow it. Obviously Adriel Bailey is not Draymond Green in any way, shape, or form, but the energy he brings, quit laughing, but you know, you get what I'm saying, right? Dustin being out has given him the chance to play with the starting lineup, and it's worked so far.
But again, I go back to what I said just a minute ago. I don't know that it wouldn't have happened anyway, eventually, maybe a little slower.
Mike likes his seniors, man.
I know, but you know what? I like Adriel Bailey, and... And, you know, like as Bob Holt pointed out in the news conference today, none of us have quite the expertise as Mike Anderson up there. But at the same time, you and I are kind of good at this. So, you know, we love hoops. I think Adriel Bailey has to be on the court. He's playing, what, 24 minutes a game now? I don't see any way it's less than 20 minutes a game ever. Ever.
I think it's definitely trending up. He's got to – the way he impacts the game.
And how about Trey? 25 minutes a game, and it's – It's just been a solid 25 minutes.
It's been really good.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to me to see what happens as you would imagine Daniel gets more comfortable and starts to – he was bad against pick and rolls.
But 9.5 rebounds,
but still,
Trey?
But still able to impact stuff because he's just so athletic.
5 offensive boards for Trey in the first 2 games. Now, we could wax poetic about Daniel all day. And again, 12.5 minutes a game in 16.5 minutes a game. 9 of 13 field goals,
7 of 10 from the line,
dude.
That was,
and
shocking.
Then you just look down the stat sheet and you see the 10 fouls, and you're like, oh man, come on, 3 blocks, barely played at all. Again, I go back to what we talked about. I know they don't want to talk about it, but I think you and I both know that they know in the building. Just having talked with some people not named Mike around the program, I think they are very well aware. That once he starts flashing what he can do, that he is definitely going to be on the NBA radar after one season.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. I mean, guys his size, and Mike even said it today, you know, you can't teach 6'11 with that kind of athleticism. And here's another bad comparison. I was watching – I'm on a roll.
Okay, go. I brought up Tyrus Thomas last week, so there's no telling what you can do now.
Well, I was watching the Clippers versus – who were they? Oh, the Sixers the other night. And – DeAndre Jordan is so athletic. Daniel Gafford is not as athletic as DeAndre Jordan, but he is.
And he actually has an offensive game, which DeAndre Jordan doesn't. Dunk.
You move Daniel Gafford to the NBA, I don't know that you would say that, but they're both 6'11". They're both super athletic, impact the game on defense, can be that role guy. There is a place for that in the NBA. That'll be the – here's the thing. If somehow they did lose Daniel Gafford after this year, you can't replace that. That would be – I don't think he will.
But I don't think you're going to fall to 16 and 16 though, like you did when Portis and Qualls left.
They have so many guys next year. It's going to be a competitive summer. I don't know how they're going to. They got 7 guards that are going to have to battle for playing time. But
right. I mean, but even then, you know, no, I don't think next season is what this season is. No matter what, Gafford here, Gafford gone, but. Just the number of bodies and the athletic guys. That's the whole point, is Mike's got all these athletic guys now coming in. And, you know, guys like Darius are going to be better next year. I don't see any way they lose or win fewer than 20 next year. But I don't care who's here or not. It's just going to be all Mike guys from this point.
I picked them to go 19-12 in the regular season this year. They play at – okay. All right. Calm down. They play an incredibly tough non-conference schedule. That was what someone asked. I thought I was going to do this solo, so I asked for some Twitter questions.
Let's answer them.
We don't have time to get through all of them, but someone asked what I thought they would do in Portland. I think they'll beat OU.
OU's not very good right now. They've got the one guy who's pretty athletic. I can't think of it. Is it
They've also got Trey Young.
That's who I'm thinking of. Trey, yeah.
Freshman point guard.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think Arkansas beats them. And then what's the second round? Is it North Carolina?
It'll be North Carolina in a rematch if they get there.
You know Jalen Barford has some unfinished charge business to talk about going into that game. Wasn't he the one that was called for the? Was it Adria who was called for the charge late in the game?
The one that didn't take the charge.
Right. Well, no, it was the one where they called Arkansas for a charge where it was a. Or no, they called a charge.
They called the
foul on Arkansas when it was clearly a charge on North Carolina.
They just let him continue.
Oh, they didn't call.
He threw it up off the glass, and they got the offense.
Okay, I couldn't remember. It was yeah. Okay. Well, in any case,
that was Adria that almost took that.
All right. Well, they are definitely going to have.
Obviously.
Yeah, they're going to have that game on their minds. I mean, I think that may be the game if they could somehow win it. Boy, you talk about getting Arkansas fans back in here. The roof would come off this place if they were to somehow win that game.
If they win two games in Portland, then they're probably going to be ranked.
Yeah, absolutely. They got some votes this week, just a couple scattering of votes.
Do you vote?
No, we don't vote. We don't set the news. We just report the news.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Mr. Holier than thou. No,
man, hey, I just got to follow the creed here.
You got anything to plug?
No, not really. Just Jeff Long, going to write some tonight. Had a good talk with Tyler Wilson today at the Touchdown Club, and he had some interesting thoughts on where Arkansas's been football-wise and some of the problems with the lack of innovative offense as he's seen it. And he's a guy who dates back to the Gus Malzahn years, the Ronnie Peacock years in the high school ranks in Arkansas. And so I'm going to write a little bit about that tonight, overnight. And so, yeah, you might check that out.
Okay. I started this new thing. It's called 8 Things I Like and Don't Like. It's on our website. Now, one of them was Darryl Makin's in-and-out dribbles, using them for good. Not that they weren't, but it basically was just a vehicle for him to get a three.
Wait till he hears that. He's going to say something to you next time he gets out of the car walking in.
No, we talked about it on the way.
Okay.
And basically I asked him if he was doing it more because Biggs could actually catch the ball and finish this year, and he took some of the blame for the fumbled passes last year, said he was throwing it a little bit lighter, but I think there's some credence to the fact that Daniel Gafford is a better finisher than Moses Kingsley.
Right.
So, Adrio Bailey better than Dustin or Orlando in that department. But before we go, I gotta give you a obligatory, like, I gotta congratulate you, man. You got the fantasy football dub.
Hey, man.
I told you were gonna pull
one,
it out.
Just
you
one.
By like I had to,
one game at a time. You know, I mean, defending champion all over here. We're just having a little bit of a emotional hangover this year at 5-5. But, you know, despite the fact that you have the better record, I've still scored more points. And I
averaged two more points a game
every
week than I have.
Pretty, so but I started the season slow. I knew that Le'Veon and Cam were going to be slow. But, you know, hey, you know, when you're at the top of the mountain, you know people are coming for you all the time. And I was just – it was a nice, comforting win just to put you back in your place a little bit this week. But before we go, I had to just give one more plug here. Or not plug, but I wanted to say thank you to your dad for listening. I really did. And, I mean, I know you're probably still on your parents' insurance and you still drive with the Oklahoma plates and all. So adulting is not the easiest thing for you. But I'm very happy that you were that he listens, and I hope to meet him one day.
This is all getting edited out of the podcast. There's no way it stays in there. So your fantasy football team is looking dominant. We're going to meet in the playoffs, I can tell.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Jimmy.
Wow. Wow, that was very callous. Thanks, dog. Appreciate you, bro. All right, we're going to get out of here. I'll be back next week. Probably not with Kurt. I feel like I've used up my Kurt podcast appearance quota for the last month or so. But appreciate you coming on again, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, dude. This is fun.
Yep.
I mean, we should do this more often, actually.
We'll get with you guys again next week. Thanks for listening.